So much then for ordinary ecology, ecology the science, understanding the patterns of nature, the patterns of reality. And we haven't even got to deep ecology, but I'll do that now. So I see deep ecology simply as ecology taken to the level of contemplation rather than just knowledge. Okay, so in a way I've kind of been straying into deep ecology already, I think. What's become known as deep ecology is a body of writings and reflections and poetry and exercises that are designed to help us experience interconnectedness at the heart level. I think deep ecology is kind of felt interconnectedness or heartfelt ecology. It was called deep ecology to distinguish it from, well, shallow ecology, by which was meant ecology that sort of put itself at the service of big business, perhaps ecology that wasn't sort of fully informed by an ecological ethic or by compassion. Just a health warning, if you Google deep ecology, you'll find quite a wide range of references, quite a wide range of writings. And some of them are quite obtuse, others kind of come from quite a politically green fundamentalist background. And some of them can even be quite kind of anti-human, you know, regarding humans as a kind of virus on the face of the planet. I have no difficulty in kind of choosing what I find helpful from deep ecology. And I think most of it, the vast majority, is helpful. And as Kamala Sheila said, I think sometimes it is kind of characterised in the terms I've just described. It is worth just picking and choosing, in a way, what we draw from deep ecology. I'd like just to say, in a way, a bit about my own experience of deep ecology. I think it was sometime when I was in my teens that I first started to sort of think of myself as an environmentalist or something like it. And I was moved to do that by something very wise and profound that I heard Spike Milligan say. I can't remember what it was. But it was enough to sort of awake me to a concern for, I think, wildlife. Spike Milligan was an Irish comedian, but he was also a great sort of campaigner for wildlife and so on. And I think, well, after that, I kind of pursued this interest through studying geography. In my work in local government, became quite centred around environmental stuff. It also came into the kind of political involvement that I had. I used to go around Labour Party branches in the northeast of England back in the 80s, trying to persuade them that global warming was something important. Most of them were ex-miners who still got free coal, so I was kind of onto a bit of a loser. So after I got involved in Buddhism, after I became a Buddhist, well, I came across deep ecology first through Saramati, through a retreat sometime in the late 1990s. I think there's at least two people here who were on that retreat. And then after that, I kind of explored it through a deep ecology group in Newcastle. Now, on the face of it, these deep ecology exercises don't look very Buddhist. Saramati, in fact, had us jumping around the shrine room at Dharmakosha like monkeys at one stage. You know, they don't necessarily involve sitting in meditation posture. They often involve interaction with others, the kind of group exercises, and so on. But it has been my experience that they can lead to insights that are very Buddhist indeed, especially, I think, combined with ordinary sitting meditation. So the exercise that we were doing when we were jumping around like monkeys was called evolutionary remembering. And this was devised by John Seed, who I've already mentioned. Just to describe this exercise, with the help of a guided commentary, participants start by lying on the floor. And in time, we kind of recapitulate the whole story of evolution. Right from those days when we were just sort of floating around the oceans as single-celled organisms. God, it was great then, wasn't it? Right through to the modern day. And stage by stage, as it were, limb by limb, we'd act this out physically. So each limb, each hand, each foot, eyesight, opposable digits, warm blood, fur, being able to stand up, our size grown to our present size. In a way, you experience each of these things in its turn as it's unfolded in our evolutionary story. So you feel in your body the unfolding of a story. You feel Pratichasamutpada in every cell of your body. You are a walking story. You realise that actually we contain the whole sort of memory of our history in our bodies, in our body memory. So deep ecology uses modern scientific knowledge to help us reflect about who we are and where we've come from. And I think this adds body awareness a whole new dimension. Evolutionary remembering could be straight from the Anapanasati Sutta. I think it probably would have been if Darwin had been around at the time. And I found it to be quite a powerful practice. I think it does yield some insight into conditionality. And it helps to sort of dissolve that tendency to human chauvinism, to thinking that we're kind of higher and separate from nature.